Alright guys, welcome back to Four Guys,
One Film.
Gator, what the fuck was that?
Dude,
come on, I'm gonna need some more
there.
Energy from you
hey,
today.
Man,
he was not there.
Nah, man, it's been three
listen,
weeks.
Listen, I don't want to even hear it. Let's get started.
Are you
so
gonna do
today?
That wasn't loud enough, guys. I want to hear it again.
Oh my god. Alright, so today we are reviewing The Unbearable Weight of Immense Talent.
Massive.
How did you say that wrong?
Is this a traditional thing where every time George hosts a movie, he has to get the name wrong?
He gets the title wrong.
Secret Life of Walter Mitty.
Walter Schmitty?
I choose long-ass titles, bro. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
None of the rest of us had problems with the title.
I think
the unbearable weight of...
Massive talent.
That's what I said.
You said immeasurable. You fucking.
We should do a competition to see who chooses the longest and the shortest.
Hey, you can definitely see the colors drop out in the room.
I made it 3 years. All right.
It's pending. It's pending.
Yeah, bro.
It was like
all right, boys. What do you guys think? I quite enjoyed it, Gator.
Who's in it? What's it about?
Wait,
you know?
Can you start? Like, he could ask. He was asking us what we think, and then just fucking completely cut everybody
no,
out. He's like, "What do you guys think?" He's like, "Okay, what do you guys think about it?"
So I think Gator is gonna rip on this movie entirely.
Oh,
but I think this movie was wholehearted. It was a bromance. It honestly focused on the relationship with Nicolas Cage and Javi
Pedro Pascal.
It was great. It reminds me of the dynamic that they had in like something similar like End of Watch. Fucking fantastic. I loved it. I think it was wholehearted. It was nice. It was very just casual film. And it was also focusing on Nicolas Cage and his previous films that he's done in the past.
This is Nick
it
Cage.
Played an homage. Yeah.
This is Nicolas Cage playing Nick Cage.
Nick Cage.
So how could you go wrong?
What can you hate about it?
Apparently Isaac has a lot of thoughts on this.
I it just didn't connect with me. Maybe because you guys we were laughing a lot in the background, right?
But, we weren't watching the first half.
I don't know. Yeah. I think maybe in the movie theater it might have been different, but or if I would have watched it by myself, it would have been different too. But honestly, it just this movie wasn't connecting, wasn't really holding my attention. I'm not saying this movie didn't have funny moments, but after seeing some of the reviews online of what some people thought of, more professional people.
You base your opinions on what others are saying? Okay,
fascinating.
I don't base it.
Write that down. Okay.
it just felt like it was gonna have a much bigger presence than what it did, and I felt like. Sometimes I didn't feel like...
All right, what fell flat about it for you?
Flat? I think it was just the boring moments when it was just Nick Cage and Pedro Pascal just not doing anything. The beginning moment where Pedro Pascal fucking has to save Nick Cage. I don't know. That part didn't connect with me, man.
You don't relate with having to save Nick Cage?
No.
You haven't...
No.
Thought about doing that in your life?
I wouldn't save Nick Cage. I don't know.
Wow.
There's something about Nick Cage that makes me want to save him if I was in that situation. I mean, he likes movies. I like movies. Yeah. He likes comic books. I like comic books.
There you go.
No, yeah. I also think this film as a whole is it's an homage to other films. It focuses.
It's an homage to all of his films.
Yeah.
Not just his films. There was a lot of references to a million other films as well. So.
All right. Name one.
The one with the doctor.
Piece of shit.
There was obscure German films that I don't know the fucking title to. It's what?
If they're so obscure, how do you know about it?
Because I looked it up.
Bullshit. Bullshit. This guy's such a poser.
Alexis, what was the name of the German film?
Which German film?
The one that he references. Dr. Calamari.
Dr. Dr. Yeah.
Caligari.
It's Calamari.
Calgary. Some Calamari? Calamari.
that's what his daughter says. Yeah.
Something stupid. I don't know, man.
Well, I think it's funny because the film is working on a few different levels because it's Javi who's trying to get Nick Cage to get to do his movie, right?
Yeah.
But that's what the director did, right? He kept sending him offers and a letter to get Nick Cage to do his movie with him. And then in the movie, they're talking about writing a script, and the script is essentially the movie that we're watching.
Trying to get Nick Cage in the movie.
Yeah.
And then at the end, it's the movie playing out, and people loved it.
Right, yeah. Right. And it's back in the theater, a movie within a movie.
Well, I do have a question, though. Javi, was he actually a drug or a drug dealer or a warlord of some kind?
No.
What the fuck are you talking about?
You didn't catch that?
Bro, did you watch the movie?
I don't know.
So his dad was, right?
Yeah.
And so what happened was once his dad passed away, his cousin.
No, I understand that.
Well, why does Nick sound so fucking sexy right now?
What I'm saying is like
he's playing the Javi right now.
Maybe they just did that for like plot contents of the movie.
No. The whole point was that he was just supposed to be like a figurehead, right?
Yeah.
Because basically the idea was that I forget what his cousin's name was. I don't know why I want to think it's Pedro, but just because that would have been funny. But
a Spanish name.
Jake, can we see what name? What was the name?
But either way, so what? The whole point was he wanted to have Javi play a very
it was Lucas,
thank you. Yeah. So Lucas wanted Javi to play like a figurehead in the operation, so he was like, I want you and the world and everybody else to believe truly that you are the head of this criminal organization so that I can run things in the background. And kind of similar to that other Italian mob boss who nobody's seen in 15 years, people might know who Lucas is, but they're not suspecting him of being anywhere near the top or the actual person running the operation.
The big boss.
No, I understand.
But
that.
No, so Javi was just placed. He was not involved.
I understand that. I'm just saying maybe since the way I don't know, maybe I'm interpreting the movie wrong, but maybe Javi was just some rich dude that sat down with Nicolas Cage. They made a movie and then somehow translated that, like, for them it was just them. He was just playing out the movie.
As
like
are you saying about the end scene where?
Yeah.
But remember they switched out his ex-wife and the daughter.
I know, but that was like just the final product, you know.
No, I mean I think I don't understand the interpretation, but I think for me
Isaac sounds confused. It made sense. Isaac sounds confused.
he just doesn't want to admit he doesn't know what the fuck.
No, I'm not confused. I'm just wondering if it's like
I think you were just not paying attention, bud. But I can see how you would have that interpretation. But no, because them. Replacing
I don't think this
ex-wife.
Is the type of movie that has an interpretation.
I don't
think it's that kind of movie.
I'm trying to find something that I liked about this movie. It'd be interesting. That'd be interesting.
Let's just give it like a synopsis for people at home. I mean,
we should have done this earlier.
we can start right in the middle, but it's Nick Cage. He's washed out. He's an actor. He's running out of money. And then he ran out of money. He basically ran out of money. He owed fucking the hotel, who knows, like $600,000 in the hole.
Crazy.
So he's basically finding ways to make additional money, and he's saying he's retired, all this shit. And then Javi hires him for $1 million to come to his estate and hang out with him.
And I think a big thing you want to add, though, is that he obviously wants to leave an impending or lasting like legacy for himself. So he very clearly in the beginning is like turning down anything and explicitly going for anything that actually pushes his stardom and his fame, but like sets himself apart from like just a regular action star, like another Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Like that scene where he approached the director and then he did that whole.
Yeah, because he was like, I believe, he's like, oh, this looks like it's influenced by so many amazing films. And he's like, and what you wrote, like that's what he was chasing and going for. And that's where he had a little tantrum and he's like, yeah, I'm going to retire. He's like, I couldn't possibly be in another Croods 2 type situation.
He's busting a Tarantino, dude. He's just like, all right, this is my last film. I want to leave my legacy intact.
Exactly.
Perfect. Just nothing to it. No, yeah. And then Javi hires him for $1 million to come to his estate. Javi's sole purpose is he wants him to star in his film. And he has the script all written out, everything for him. And then the tables turn into a whole thing where the CIA is involved. Javi's a,
drug.
Looks like it's a head, of a cartel kingpin. But
yeah.
The reality is it's his cousin running everything.
It's always
the
cousin. Be
and
careful.
And then Nick Cage starts embodying all these different characters that he's played in the past in his previous movies. And he's getting to kind of like live them through this.
I mean, there's multiple scenes where he's literally having a conversation with the younger version of himself.
Yeah, Nicky. Mackin.
I didn't like the de-aging that they did for the younger version of him.
Upper lip
it looked
looks
weird.
The upper lip.
Yeah. It's
the upper
lip. They did a fucking Superman like CGI edit. Like when they took his
de-aging
mustache off.
De-aging in general, though, it's still pretty fresh.
No,
today.
That's not true. They've done de-aging really well. Indiana Jones, they did a fantastic
but
with
Indiana
some
Jones came
scenes.
Out, Indiana Jones came out after.
Yeah,
one.
This was like
did
last
this,
year.
No,
yeah.
This was 2022. This 22? Is very...
Yeah, Indiana
years
Jones
ago.
Came out last year.
What?
Indiana Jones came out did not.
Dial of Destiny?
Oh, Indiana Jones, yeah, that was last year.
No,
yeah.
But wasn't there another one previous to that they did de-aging
Kingdom
as well?
Of the Crystal Skull? That was like 10 years ago?
With Shia LaBeouf?
They de-aged him in that one too.
No, they
Wait,
just hired Shia LaBeouf.
I'm going to bust to George. In Marvel movies, they always do de-aging.
Yes, they
no,
do.
But it
they
doesn't
also
look good,
de-aging,
though.
We've
always been highly critical of them.
Plus, we're, all right, again, we're,
so
we're,
how about Genocide? No,
what?
Genesis Man?
Genocide?
Genesis Man, whatever. The fucking...
Gemini Man.
Gemini Man, that's what it was.
But again, we're talking about a $30 million budget versus like
That's hundreds like over 100 mil.
So yeah, they probably went for the lackluster cheap version because they were more trying to show him off as a weird entity anyway, mm-hmm. right? He's not real. So they didn't really necessarily need it to be like Gemini Man, where it was a younger version of Will Smith looking at each other.
Now that I'm thinking about it, I think this movie is just a giant gag movie of his own life. I can see why
it is a gag movie. I don't think it's supposed to be taken that seriously. Yeah. It's legitimately
meant to be enjoyed because it's mm-hmm. lighthearted and funny and weird mm-hmm. and wacky.
And it's kind of cool that Nick Cage can do a parody of his own life and be okay about it.
I think also he has such a big, like almost... Like, I don't want to say ego because it feels like he wouldn't have taken this movie if he really had an ego
that's,
like
this
that.
This feels like the opposite of ego.
Exactly.
Because you're making fun of yourself.
No, but that's what everyone feels like Nick Cage is.
Exactly.
I'm like, that's great. I'm glad he took it. And he was just kind of like, it's like a little laugh. Yeah. Like, he's like, this is funny.
The concept, it kind of reminds me a little bit, and not because like they're alike at all, but just Being John Malkovich. Did you guys ever see that one?
No,
I haven't. You know what?
No. Being John Malkovich.
That one, I need to watch it.
That one's really interesting. Cameron Diaz is in it.
What are the similarities? What is
It's just like, John Malkovich is in the movie, but it's like this guy who can be inside the body of John Malkovich. And so he like, there's like this whole thing going on about these two people, and it's kind of hard to describe into words. But I think it's a movie that we should watch.
Maybe put on the list.
Good suggestion.
It'll be on the list.
This was also, for me, was similar to like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, because like Leo has to portray an actor that's like washed out, and then like his legacy is starting to die, and he starts to feel like he's no longer being able to grasp it. And that's actually what's happening to kind of Leo. Like now he's getting older. Yeah. He's no longer like, you know, the fucking young hotshot in Hollywood.
Yeah, I've seen Leo in person. He looks fucking good. Okay.
But he's also, we can't.
You're not 25 anymore.
Disagree that he's not getting older. Like he's just fucking.
When did you see Leo in person?
Like in January.
How far though?
I don't know. How far were we, Andre? Like a few rows away.
So like minimum 40 feet.
Yeah, minimum 20 feet. Like, Scorsese was there. De Niro was there right
now. I don't know, man. Anybody can look good from 20 feet away, man.
Yeah, bro.
Whatever, bro.
Wait, what? That was Killers of the Flower Moon?
Yeah, I went to screening of Killers.
Oh, nice. That was great.
Yeah, a little shout out.
No, but, yeah, I feel like it's similar to that, where it's almost like it's so fucking meta, that whole, you know, aspect.
Yeah,
but
it is very meta.
But it worked well, I feel like.
I think so, too.
I feel like he didn't take it too seriously, and then he was reprising all those, you know, roles, and then also the fucking scene where he makes out with his younger self, like what the fuck? Mm. It's literally him like giving himself a big old
smooch. Because Nick Cage smooches good.
He does smooch good.
Sure he does.
Yeah.
Now would you guys kiss a younger version of yourself?
No.
Absolutely. All fucking day. How young? Let's go, dude.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, we're
that's the deciding factor for you.
If it's too young, then it's a problem, right?
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Maybe we're not old enough for this. Yeah, question.
We're not there yet.
We're not, because he went 20 years younger, and I'm having a problem with that.
Isaac has a lot to say.
All right, George. It's a lighthearted film, like you said. It's supposed to be enjoyed. It's very just casual.
Like Pedro Pascal is so lovable. Oh well, why do you hate him? Why do you hate him?
I don't hate him. I never said I hate him. I just don't like the overall.
He hates him.
No, I like him, man.
What do you hate about Pedro, bro?
In this movie.
In Narcos, he's fantastic.
He was good, but he wasn't like a main character for most of
the movie. He was literally the main co-star.
No, it was fucking. But we're not going to talk about it.
Boyd Holbrook.
Or how about Last of Us?
I haven't seen Last of Us.
Oh, that's a fucking...
I don't care for it. I wanted to watch it with you guys.
And you're a gamer, too. What the fuck, bro?
Like, I don't like role-playing games like that, man.
You like to role-play, though.
That's true.
Different.
You should
play.
I'm in it, you know?
Yeah, it's different. All right, George, why did you choose this movie?
Like I said, it's a good bromance. I think it's lighthearted.
It's not telling you why you chose
fun.
The movie.
It's Nick Cage.
It's got
like
a long-ass title.
He can't pronounce it or say it. I can't remember long titles.
We're
going to
make you say it later.
I'm a visual learner.
Yeah, he's all about visual.
Okay, but like, what was the main thing that like...
It stood out. I don't know. I really like Pedro Pascal. I think he's fucking America's sweetheart. Also,
he's not even American.
Yeah, he is.
He is now
Chilean American.
He's Chilean American. Yeah. When did he get his American citizenship?
Two Alexis.
I think he was born here, dude.
No, he wasn't.
Is it check?
Continue.
No, but also just Nick Cage, and like when I originally watched it, I loved it. I thought it was fucking hilarious. I also think that like it's not a hard watch. It's easy to digest, and like there's nothing really that I would change. I think it did its job well. it had a very, I mean, $30 million, I feel like that's a super low budget for today's films. And then also,
it is.
I think it had great just visuals, action sequences, storyline. It was meta. It just worked well for me.
Yeah, I mean, dude, I really agree with you. I mean, I know Isaac's going to shit at this on this film in a few minutes probably.
Yeah.
But
sooner.
Or sooner, yeah. He might cut me off. Wait, in a second. It's me talking.
Yeah, like, but why is he considered Chilean American if he was born in England?
He probably has a
citizenship.
No. Citizenship.
Okay. Yeah. But anyway, the...
He's so focused on... He's like, all right, show me the green card, Pedro. Yeah.
Wait, he is an American.
Yeah. All right,
in South America doesn't make you an American.
Yeah.
But anyway, what I was saying was, this film for me, what I really like about it more than anything is like just how lighthearted it is, but it's still like not so like turn your brain off and just like kind of like kids movies, if I will. Like we watched Master of Disguise. We talked about how for some of us that film is so great because
we
experienced
Master of Disguise.
Yes. Exactly. Some of us lack the experience to really understand it, but regardless, like that one, you turn your brain off and there's nothing really to get. You just fucking see a goofy movie that's fun and makes you, you know, laugh and makes you forget about the hard parts of your life or the more difficult times of your life. This movie, while it is similar, it also does have like so much meta commentary. It also talks like you're watching him develop not only himself and like his persona, but like this movie with Javi, which is, oh shit, we're in that movie with Javi. And so like, it's a little bit more complicated. It's a little bit more complex than just like a standard goofy movie, but there's so many lighthearted parts throughout the whole thing. I don't know. I think this is a great film. I remember going to the movie theaters and watching with you, Alexis, and
yeah,
it was just fun
that
as
was
hell.
Fun.
We're just
fun.
Busting up the whole time.
I also just love how much they fucking love movies. And like,
yeah.
Because
you can genuinely see, like, Nick Cage is probably a huge movie fan. Like,
yeah,
he
absolutely.
Fucking
comes from a movie family.
I mean, he's made like 104 films. And actually, more
you.
Than that, maybe 110 films.
Really?
Maybe this is his 104th film.
He's done so many fucking films.
I think this, if I had to guess a number, I'd say 104th.
Yeah,
yeah, something. That's a good guess. Yep. That's a solid guess.
I love the scene where they're at the table and it basically Javi's trying to bring the family together, and then Cage's apology is basically saying, he's like, but you guys wouldn't want to stop me from flourishing, right, and fulfilling my passion as a fucking creative. And then he turns it
around
and makes it about him.
Yeah,
which is fucking
spot
on.
I love that, like, it's even like Javi shitting him. He's like, no, yeah, that was the worst fucking apology I've ever heard in my life.
That was
trash.
Yeah.
I think, you know what, I think this is my issue with the film, is that it's very funny when it is funny, and they should have kept going with that. But then there were moments where they try to be like action-y.
It became dry.
And it dragged with those parts.
But I think, like, literally, that's kind of the, you know, it sucks because the point is, like, they made a huge comment on that in the beginning. It's like, no, this is a dramatic thing about two, like, mature and sensitive men. And then they started talking about the fact that, oh, we need a box office draw. So, yeah, it'll end action-y and it'll, and that's what will keep people coming. Fortunately, we saw that it was only $29 million.
it didn't happen for them. Yeah.
It didn't work. The action sequences didn't work. For
and that's why I think they should have just kept it as a full-blown comedy.
But I will say, like,
I didn't hate the action sequences
in this one compared, because I feel like even the action sequences gave off kind of more of like the still Nick Cage vibe. It didn't seem like he was embodying or becoming one of his characters as like other films. Like, he was still very much Nick Cage doing action sequences.
No, I think during the action films, it really felt like Nick Cage transforming into one of the characters that felt comfortable for him to draw in those moments. Because him personally doesn't want to fucking do that. It's when he kind of puts his mind away and like, oh, you know what? I'm going to activate this part of the brain, of like my active brain, and I'm playing a role and I got to do this. It's not scary. Nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to hurt. Like, That's kind of how I see it when he was doing action scenes.
Well, even because, like, for me, when he started becoming Salvador, like, or whatever the other mob boss, he didn't really become
was
a
was
character.
Was it Sergio?
He was Italian. I don't know.
It was some Italian fool. But he just, like, didn't feel like he was pretending to be any one of his characters. Like, I know at the end when he grabs the gun, he starts citing the fucking, the reading that he did, like, which makes me feel like he wanted to be Mark Wahlberg, like, with the Boston accent and shit. But and then he grabs the gun. He's like, in 14 nanoseconds or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And starts saying, he's like... Yeah. And
that monologue.
Yeah, the little monologue that he does. But that just seemed, again, that wasn't a movie he's actually played in. That was a read that he did because he wanted to be part of a movie. So that was still very much like, I'm Nick Cage, bitch, kind of deal. And then, like, did the actual shot and, like, the little sequence he had.
I don't know, because for me, I'm gonna go a little crazy right now.
Go crazy.
Right now, this movie is a 6 out of 10 for me.
Whoa, buddy.
I'm going off script. And honestly, you guys might work. You guys need to convince me. You guys need to convince me right now that this is like not what I think it
is. I mean, I don't love this movie.
I'm not saying you do, but I'm just saying like
I'm not the one that's gonna convince you.
I think it's a good movie. I think that, I mean, it's either you love it or hate it, but the reality is it's very simple. Like it's the plot is making fun of itself.
It's like, bro, it's like you go to Denny's, you want some pancakes, bacon, and eggs, boom.
That's what you're going to get.
No, but this is like, okay.
And then you can't like it if you don't like breakfast.
No, but
that's just what it is.
I'm not a big breakfast guy. But here's the thing.
Conclusion.
Like,
I actually don't like breakfast either. But this movie is dinner for me.
These feel like soggy pancakes to me.
But soggy because they're soaked.
Like
with maple
it could still,
syrup?
Yeah, no. exactly. It could still
or
be
soggy,
good.
Soggy like you had four guys play soggy waffle on a pancake. And
no, soggy is like the guy just like half cooked them in because he was in a hurry and put it on there.
It wouldn't be soggy then. It'd be like
no, it'd be mushy because have you never made pancakes?
Dude, I'm known for making pancakes.
You say that, but like I've never seen you make pancakes.
But soggy implies that it's wet and moist.
Yeah, I'm
so
saying it's
mushy.
That's what I'm saying.
It'd be mushy.
It'd be okay. Technicalities over here, buddy.
All right, my friend. I take pancake making seriously.
I'm more of a waffle guy myself, but
yeah, I know, yeah. I know, Blue.
George is like, stop, dude.
The most Nick Cage thing I'm fucking reading right now is that he has a son named Kal-El. What a fucking.
Well, do you know why his last name is Cage?
Because he's trapped.
No, because he's a fan of Luke Cage, the superhero, the Marvel superhero.
Oh shit!
So
is
he
it
changed.
Actually?
So I think he legally changes
so
it.
So somehow,
Cage.
What I'm hearing is that George still found a way to make us do something Marvel related.
Yeah, he did.
God damn it!
I'm not even that big of a Marvel fan. You guys read more comics than anything that I do. What the fuck?
Yeah, but you're a fake fan, so you bring it up as
this
your
doesn't
point
track.
Of interest.
No. I like the movies. I don't like the comics as much as
wow,
you guys
exactly.
Do.
Fake fan. He doesn't even read. We were talking about this
Alexis,
earlier.
You literally told me you stopped reading comics because you
maybe I'm
out
back.
Of it.
Maybe I'm, well, I mean, I still read the ones I have. So
there's only so many times.
Buying
you can
new
read
ones.
Him, Alexis.
He's like, maybe I look him up on fucking
yeah, free comics.
He's like, that's my retirement plan. That's my 401k. The stacks of comics. Okay, so I don't know. I think, I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't like fucking love this movie. I watched it once before this and I quite enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. Watching it the second time around, I definitely see
quite.
Like, I did enjoy it. I mean, it's not my favorite fucking
like,
movie
it was
in the
elegant.
World.
It was very elegant.
It was
hilarious.
Nice. It was nice. It hit the palate right. But the second time around, I definitely see like the certain aspects where I'm like, oh, the rewatchability on this maybe isn't that great. But seeing it one time, I'm like, I enjoyed it a lot. And I would definitely recommend it to somebody that hasn't seen it. Also, that likes movies, that likes the whole just meta thing.
Yeah.
And then also a movie that can make fun of itself as well as Nick Cage. He's literally like the whole fucking thing. The butt of the joke is that he has too much of a fucking ego. Mm-hmm. And he's willing to acknowledge that and put that aside, I feel like, to make a movie that's just fucking, you know, funny and quirky and then, you know.
I don't know, man. This maybe because you guys were in the room, but it just wasn't holding my attention.
Do you know what I was going to mention?
You love it too much.
He kept staring at me.
This is something that I'm starting to feel
giving
Alexis
with, smooches.
Like, not just this film, but like other films that we've watched. Like, you know, I talked about like Valentine's Day just recently happened. I try to watch the whole Before trilogy with my girlfriend because we really love those films.
You're welcome.
We enjoyed them. Yeah, thank you for letting me borrow them, Alexis. But
hasn't returned them. He's upset.
I was hoping to get them back. Today.
He's gonna look through the disc and he'd be like, "There's a scratch on this one around.
They're
this.
Sticky." If you know what I mean.
You're gonna have to buy me this again.
Blu-ray. And he's like, "Good luck finding the physical copy."
You're
somewhere.
Gonna have to buy me a PS5.
Yeah, a whole piece, and have one of the discs in there already. But anyway, like that was an example of like movies that I think I can see my first watch with Alexis having been in a quiet theater where you're not getting interrupted, where the like you've already literally invested money into like being in a scenario to watch movies. You've put yourself in a mental space to watch it. Same thing for this one, right? The first time we watched it in theaters, like you didn't know what it was going to be. Like I knew this time
it's exciting, you know, it's a Nick Cage movie.
Yeah, you're like, oh, it's gonna be a cool Nick Cage movie, and then you're watching this and all these jokes are landing for the first time ever, versus something where Isaac's here, it's like we were just getting ready to eat, we were sitting down talking for a bit, as the film's going on, and you're kind of you're already missing a little bit of like the opening stupidities and shenanigans.
That's a good point, because I think the movie theater experience really elevates the film like 100 times.
A million.
You know, because like you know, we saw Cure like a few months ago, and the energy wasn't like there. And then I saw Cure like 2 weeks ago in a movie theater in LA, and it was fucking incredible. I was like, holy shit, like, why did I doubt this movie? And so I do think that when you're fully focused.
It was us. No, it was us.
I think you guys suck. But when you're fully focused.
He pointed at you guys on the opposite side of the couch.
Because Nick understood. Nick understood.
He gets it. He gets it.
So
all right.
You guys are trying to say, you guys, on tonight, you guys ruined my movie experience of watching this.
Absolutely.
You know what? Yes. No, I think so.
We potentially did. I think we were talking the entire time. I'm not saying, oh, shit, this would have been the best movie ever and you would have loved it. Like, I think you would have enjoyed it a little bit more.
But we've talked about this before on the pod. Like, super important part of this podcast is to understand that not every fucking film is always going to be watchable in theaters. Mm-hmm. And so like, that's what I'm trying to say, where you guys, you're talking about like your experience.
Yeah.
This movie has two different watching experiences. If you can find it in theaters, or if you can find yourself in like a really quiet and really dedicated mindset to not look at your phone, to not talk to your, you know, your partner or your friend or whoever's there with you, like, you're going to enjoy the shit out of this. And then we've talked about this other facet too, where it's like, if you can get a bunch of people together, all of a sudden a funny movie becomes a hilarious movie, you know? Mm-hmm. An action.
Yeah,
Like, if you watch it by yourself, understand you're watching a fucking movie by yourself.
It goes back to the thing that, like, I think we've talked about before. With, like, stand-up. You can't just watch stand-up on your own. It's like the audience effect is real. Crazy. It's weird. It's like you're in a movie theater. Somebody else giggles, and then you're like, oh, that kind of was funny. And then you just, like, join
I'm like, bro, that guy's fucking laugh is annoying as shit.
No,
Jesus.
Well, but not even just laughter, but, like, certain things are contagious. Yeah. You know?
Right.
Your buddy farts
COVID, COVID-19.
Or you watch a movie that you really enjoy, and then you're waiting for them to, like, see the big reveal or the plot twist, and then you just kind of, like...
I was Nick funny. Over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, what'd you guys watch?
The Before trilogy.
Oh, okay. Wait, she hadn't seen it before?
No, she hadn't seen it before.
No.
How's she liking it so far?
She's liked it. She's just not liked me. It's the whole, like, you gotta shut the fuck up and watch this part, you know? And like,
focus.
We were trying not to do that with this. Like, there was a couple times where I was like, guys, get back to like the movie.
Yeah, he was.
Because what I didn't want was for us to like realize, oh shit, we didn't watch the first 20 minutes of the movie. We gotta start over. You know, like, I wanted us to be able to just experience. I don't care if we talk through it, you know, because I talk through it all the time too. Yeah. But just to the point where, like, Isaac kept saying, I don't know what the fuck's going on here. Like, I was like, well, that's a problem.
Yeah, no. And then he also did bring up a valid point. Like, some of the side characters, it's like, oh shit, they're forgettable as fuck. Like, the whole CIA,
like, what the fuck was
going on?
Tiffany Haddish,
dude.
Dude,
honestly,
she was pretty lame.
You know what's so funny is, like, but when you had first said that, I was like, no, I was about to make a comment about Tiffany Haddish not being so stupid in this film. The more I watched it, I was like, yeah, like, they just serve no purpose.
Yeah, they were annoying. No, they just, like, died really, really
the
fast.
The worst fucking CIA agents ever. They're making him do all the dirty work.
See, like,
they're making
I think I would have preferred this movie if that CIA portion of it was actually serious. Like, it was an actual CIA guy trying to do all this stuff. And the only reason that they needed Nick Cage was because he was inside the compound. I think that would have changed the dynamic of what was going on. But, like, I feel like Nick Cage was trying to be himself with Pedro Pascal trying to love Nick Cage, right? Who wouldn't? And then you have, like, all this, like, quote-unquote funny things happening around it. So it gave, like, mixed signals of what the movie needed to be. Instead of, like I said, if it was a comedy full through, I think would have been a much better movie overall.
Thank you.
Yeah.
No, like, I completely agree with that opinion. And like, if instead of, like, actually, like, Nick Cage going into his serious, like acting action, like, you know, like him trying to do,
like,
that
by the end.
Yeah, like, I don't, it didn't connect. And I think if it was just funny and him trying to, like if he did like he just funnily did like his role, because it's like he just went into stress mode. It was like, I'm just gonna click into actor, and it was just something like him
like going full Ghost Rider, you know, when he's like transforming, just going crazy Cage.
Yeah, like, I think if I would have seen Crazy Cage in this movie, it would have been great, instead of just like a normal dude Cage.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, you know what? That is a good point. I think he really, like, underplayed himself, like, trying to be, like, a normal guy. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's why there was, like, scenes where, like, the younger version of himself, he's, like, fucking, the whole scene where he's, like, eyes are, like, bulging, and he's, like, what is that? Where is that from?
I'm but,
like,
but, I, but I think...
probably. I think it's from Vampire's Kiss.
I think it's Wicker Man.
But you know, I don't know. You know what I think would have been hilarious if they would have used Old Man's Cage face trying to be a younger version of himself. So you still have. Like, I think that would have been funnier. Like,
see,
again,
where were you in the writing room?
Exactly. Huh? Like, I like instead of him trying to like de-age him, and it looks like now I'm focused on his upper lip, look like all the clipping that was going on his upper lip, and I don't even focus on what he's actually saying. Especially like if you're watching that, I don't know why. I don't know. For me, like I'm very visual, and if I know, I'm
just like George,
it distracts me.
It's just because I can't read. But no, hey, if it's one thing that you know came out of this that you will take from this film,
is the meme.
It's Paddington 2.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know what Paddington 2 is.
A lot.
Hey, Paddington 2, dude, they put me onto.
That's
Paddington
what I was
2.
Trying to say. Like this movie, 100% agreed. Not supposed it's to be taken so memeable too. But it's just like fucking stupid, funny moments.
Well, I only think like 10 minutes of it was memeable, and it's when they were on acid.
That was best.
Okay, I can't wait to talk about infamous. Our favorite films or scenes and stuff. Yeah,
yeah.
No, they give us the infamous. You know, like
the staring at each
with,
other.
Like, oh. With Pedro just fucking his pupils dilated. You know,
that I think that if they would have like the acid scene the whole way through, I think it would have been a much better movie. And I think it would have been cheaper since spend money on stupid CGI. It would have been easier to film too, because I'm like, they could actually let loose a little bit. And I think Pedro Pascal is an actor, even though I know he's a really serious actor, he plays really well into the comedy aspects of things.
Yeah, he's a funny guy.
He
should do it more often.
And if Nick Cage would have been crazy Nick Cage, and he would act that way, or just probably just been himself, it would have been a much better movie.
I think that is Nick.
No,
himself.
It's not. It's not.
Dude,
no?
He's historically crazy, dude. Like he does weird shit. Yeah.
He's unhinged. What the like? I mean,
doesn't he have like a grave stone in Louisiana?
Some like, shit like that.
Just because he like partied so hard, he like fuck shit up on Mardi Gras over there, like so bad that they were like, you have to be buried here to bring in tourists, to bring in money to this place, because you were just fucking way too wild.
Jesus.
Wait, so he agreed to that, or the Louisiana did that, just because they're like, too hard.
I don't know what the story is, but I think he agreed to it, like gave money, and like now there's, you know, tourists just going to go see his grave. Like, even though he's still alive.
What the
you know?
Fuck?
Like, I think there was, like, he's just spent like weird shit, like weird amount of money on weird shit.
It kind of reminds me of Michael Jackson, how he would just like spend crazy amounts of money on everything.
He got that amount of money, like he doesn't need to like, like he didn't need to do this.
Well,
stuff.
I mean, let's how many movies has he done? Like 104.
Well, 104 at that point. So he's probably at like over 110 or something. 115.
That's fucking insane.
Because there was a time where he was just making all these like direct to video movies back to back just to pay off whatever debts he had. You know.
Yeah.
Just write a script for Nick. He'll join. He'll do it. Nick Cage, if you're watching,
I'll do it. I guess.
I'll
do. We're gonna do an indie film.
It was me that you meant. Right?
Yeah.
No, but I don't know. Like, I think this movie had a lot of potential and it was. I think they had a good formula going. If they would have just like,
yeah,
it would have been funny instead of like just trying to like.
Okay, but just blatantly hate on it. I get some aspects of it. It wasn't too bad.
No, like,
I want to give some unadulterated love. I mean, you guys mentioned it. This is one of Pedro Pascal's best fucking things he's ever done. Like, I could see him like from Narcos all the way to The Last of Us. I know he can play a serious character. I know he can play someone who's dealing with the fucking hard thing to do, and he has to grab a child and take her somewhere. Like, you're capable of fucking shooting a gun. But in this one, like, just like, you even were saying, like, oh my God, he's acting so terribly. But the thing that was upsetting me was like, he's acting like he doesn't know how to do that.
Yeah, he's literally pretending.
He's
like
he's trying to get Nick Cage. Like, oh, there's a person over there. Oh no, like, please come out of your shell kind of deal, right? Like, and like, he was trying to like pretend like he was still like fangirling and goofing. And then towards the end, like, he's just literally feels like he's not even Pedro Pascal. He's just some guy who genuinely loves Nick Cage.
But like,
you know what I mean?
No,
I
love
the
switch up.
I
love the switch up.
I didn't like the fact that he was. I think if you just would have been Pedro Pascal, like fangirling a little bit.
But I think the reason why he couldn't, in my, like, because he literally was playing someone who was like the number one Nick Cage fan, like of all time, like with that fucking little, what's it called? That room he had with all the memorabilia and stuff. Like, you don't get to that level unless, like, you're the type of person that you meet your idol.
You're
and
a freak.
At first, you're at least going to be, like, jittery and, like, awkward. Like, at the very beginning, he doesn't even know what to say to him. He's like, do you mind if I join you? It's like, it's your fucking house. Yeah. Like, what? Do whatever you want. Like, you invited me here. I'm just your guest. And, like, that's where, like, his love interest, Javi's love interest, she had to, like, tell Nick Cage, like, hey, you're going to like hanging out with this guy. Because he's not going to tell you to your face. He's not going to talk to you about it. But he fucking gave you $1 million to come here. So do things with him. And he, that's when
it,
they started.
It was borderline obsessive fucking stalker.
Oh, absolutely.
Fangirl.
I have a question. Weird. I have a question. You know, this guy was crazy for Nick Cage. Who are you guys crazy for?
Oh, shit. Pedro Pascal.
Really?
Oh, yeah, dude.
You know what? Actually, like...
No, on a serious note. On a serious note,
I think I could 100%. See Pedro Pascal because he, like, even seeing him in interviews and stuff like that, he seems like such a cool guy.
Yeah.
Like everybody thinks... That, like, I remember, like, a couple years ago, like, younger, I'd think, like, Dwayne The Rock Johnson or Kevin Hart are so cool, but... Persona outside,
oh
it's like
God.
They'd be timing it to the seconds how much time they have to spend to make a wish with you just so they can leave to do a fucking business venture or something else.
It's all,
you
know? Business almost.
It's
literally like, oh shit.
Like, I think recently I saw like a little meme or something of Pedro grabbing Taika Waititi during like a fucking interview and like pretend like fucking ripping his head off or something. And then Taika fainted and just stayed on the red carpet for like a minute on the floor. And Pedro and him were just fucking around. I'm like, that's the type of vibe I want to have with friends and like people I hang out with.
There's an interview that I saw that I really liked. It was with QC, and then basically they're just asking a bunch of questions that people
QC?
Search.
Do you mean GQ?
GQ?
GQ, that's what it
bro,
was.
Bro, that
God
was,
damn,
it's,
dude.
I'm
it's
dyslexic.
Not long titles. It's just
I'm dyslexic. All right, guys.
I was like, quality control.
You got to be able to read to be dyslexic.
No, but the whole point, that interview, it's basically like just people looking up shit on the internet about him. And one of the things was... you know how he's like ultra memeable? There's just a bunch of jokes. He embraces them, which is hilarious.
When they call
like,
him Daddy for a while.
Daddy, but yeah, that's what the interview was about. And basically, like he just kind of like plays into it. And he fucking loves it. And he's almost like, you could tell he's kind of like shy about it. He's like okay, that's kind of weird, but he's like, fuck it, like it's funny. So I, you know, which is it's kind of like you look at it and you're like, oh, like he's humbled, but he still embraces it.
So is your answer like, Pedro as well?
Dude.
Like
I said Pedro first, Nick followed suit. So.
Is that true?
What about you?
You're
going to say Sydney Sweeney, you fucking dog.
No, I feel like I'd probably be like that over Willem Dafoe.
Really?
Creepy
bastard.
Oh, yeah, Willem Dafoe.
Yeah, he's
you know they're friends, right?
Oh yeah, they are. They are. Dude. That's right.
Hey, little.
He's just one of my favorite actors, man. He's everything he's been in. It's always been good. Like no matter what. And actually, the next movie I'm gonna show you guys is gonna have Willem Dafoe in there.
Jeez.
And it's gonna be a young Willem Dafoe.
Not Lighthouse.
Not Lighthouse.
Let's get weird with it. Let's go. Yeah, no.
Andre knows which one. Andre knows. Yeah.
Young Willem Dafoe.
Is it his I know he did a play that was recorded when he was younger where he showed his big fat cock. Is it that one?
It's not that one.
Oh, well,
it's
then I don't want to watch
one.
It.
We're not interested.
No, we're watching that offline.
Scratch it off the list.
Me, it's Cillian Murphy.
Oh, Cillian? Oh, yeah.
I feel like you just get secondhand fucking cancer at that point.
I love him so much in
I
Peaky
watched
Blinders.
All of Peaky Blinders.
Dude,
he's phenomenal.
Yeah, like he's great.
Fucking terrible father, terrible brother, but phenomenal.
Yeah.
He was good at Scarecrow too in the Batman movies.
Yeah, honestly, underrated. Yeah.
And 28 Days Later.
I'm surprised you didn't put him as the Batman. I mean, there was like
I think
auditioned. They did some screen testing.
I think he's too
him.
Skinny. Yeah. He's too lean. And like, I mean, yeah, could he put on weight? Because I mean,
Christian Bale.
Machinist, yeah.
But Christopher
Bale
Nolan
looks
just
good,
loves
though.
He does,
Killian
yeah.
though. He's just like, I'll put him in anything, whatever he wants.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Cillian Murphy's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think I think the thing for those and the reason why I'm choosing Pedro with George here is like it's the same thing you can argue Nick Cage is fucking awesome, all his movies are great, I love Nick Cage, but I don't think I could stand in a room with Nick Cage and not like not fucking be like, okay, Jesus Christ, like alright bro, I get it, you're Nick Cage. Mm-hmm. Like, and I feel like it could be that way a little bit with Willem Dafoe.
Do you think he's just like
on
one
a
of
higher like intellectual
no,
level?
I mean, I was at a Q&A where he was moderating stuff and he seemed like a really like chill kind of down earth guy, you know, like very very affable and just like super friendly, so
nice.
Yeah,
do you think Cillian would be that way?
I think honestly I've seen interviews with Cillian, he really looks like a genuinely cool dude.
Yeah,
like
he does seem cool,
like,
he's got a very like interesting accent, which is crazy, it throws
it's
me off
Irish,
every single
right?
time
yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know where
I think he's Irish.
He's Irish,
yeah,
with Murphy. Yeah, it would be Irish.
But yeah, I mean,
all right. Well, let's get back to it, and then we can probably go over.
You want to go over some favorite scenes?
Yeah, favorite scenes. I mean, I'll start hands down. It's gotta be the scene that they're shrooming. It's the best.
The acid
trip. Like, yeah, I mean, It was acid. It wasn't shrooms.
Jesus Christ.
Well, George, I'm sorry. We had a conversation about this during the thing.
You had a conversation. You're like, somebody told me that your stomach is going to hurt in acid. I'm like, have you ever taken acid? And you're like, no, but I think
it was mushrooms. That was Nick. And he said that mushrooms would hurt your stomach.
And then George incriminated himself.
Yeah.
The statute of limitation. Does it stand?
Yeah, it was yesterday. But anyway, I agree with you. Fucking, I hate that you chose that. But I'll get more specific. I love them fucking arguing and like crying over like whether or not he's gonna leave Javi behind. He's like, no, you have to come up here. He's like, you have to drop me. And then they just like have that moment where he's breaking down, and then Javi's just like,
oh, hey, I'm over here. Way,
and he addresses him as Mr. Cage, like he's still like super like shy about. He's like, you're having your moment. I don't know if you're like pretending or if like you're real. It's so funny.
Alexis. It'd be the same as you.
My favorite was when Nick Cage finally goes into the room and he sees a statue of himself. He's like, how much did you pay for this protesting?
$6,000.
I'll give you 20. Even though his dick knows he doesn't have
it,
any.
But he's like, I need it. I need it. Like,
I don't have any fucking money, dude.
Like, I don't care. Whatever it takes. Yeah. Another one too. The great like when they finally open up to each other a little bit and they start having like that bromance develop, of like talking about like favorite movies, and he's like, oh my god, like you love like The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari or whatever it is.
Caligari, something like that.
And
Calamari.
Calamari.
We don't. Yeah, we're not. We don't give a fuck.
Anyway, say it, Nick.
We're not
what
Nick
is
Cage.
What is the title, Nick?
Say the full
title. Oh, yeah, no, you were talking shit. Yeah, say the title.
You're dyslexic. Yeah, here's the difference. This is the actual movie we watched, I can say. But the Paddington 2 shit was also silly and stupid. And just like watching them fucking cry and stuff like that. Oh, that was good. Nice. And another callback at the end with that was funny, too. Yeah. Even though I get it, it was predictable.
All right, Alexis, should we get the Letterbox?
Well, all right, let's see what our Letterbox friends have to say about this film. There we go. That's my boy. All right, this one's by Louis Wetton. 2.5 star. The two redeemable things about this film was the LSD scene and all the shirts Nick Cage and Pedro Pascal wore.
Wow.
2.5.
Pedro did have some sick fucking suits.
The wardrobe in this film was great, actually.
Yeah, that one green suit.
That was fantastic.
I think it's stupid to say that that's the only redeemable things. I think they're just the bromance, like we talked about, put that up in front of everything else, side characters, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it would have been phenomenal.
Yeah, I think the dynamic could have been a little bit better. Yeah. I mean, I definitely feel like Pedro Pascal's character was there, but Nick Cage's was just not like.
Yeah, I just
didn't feel as genuine with Pedro together.
Like so. I felt like again Nick should have just played himself instead of trying to play himself as a normal person.
Right,
and if Pedro would have kept doing what he was doing, it'd be fine.
Mm-hmm. But I do feel that 2.5 might be too low. But hey, you know what?
I tell you, though.
They pointed out two good things, and I gotta give them that. All right, this one's by JG0123. 4.5 stars. Oh, this is a lot. A self-aware character piece turned thriller that rides well on Cage's front-running while still making each of the main characters well thought out to the point where I care what happens to them, especially after the plot twist. I'm going to skip some shit. Hot Fuzz and 21 Jump Street vibes. A.K.A. How did we get to this point? What the fuck is happening vibes?
I agree with the whole 21 Jump Street thing. I don't think that it's like Jonah Hill, Channing Tatum like level dynamic, but it's definitely that same kind of vibe. I feel it. For sure.
I don't feel it, man.
I mean, it's kind of like
it's not up there with it. But
It's not a buddy cop, but it's just a buddy.
It's just a buddy film.
Buddy film.
It's more like a fucking that movie with Paul Rudd and the guy from How I Met Your Mother, the tall guy.
Oh, was it Forgetting Sarah Marshall?
No,
right? Oh no, it was it's Slapping the Bass.
Slapping the Bass. That's kind of I feel like that's kind of what that movie was to me.
I remember, but that one's better though. That's from.
You know what I'm talking about?
That's a good movie. Yeah, yeah. I really like that one. All right, so that's 4.5 stars.
Thank you for that review.
Yeah. All right, this one's by Daniel Georgie. 5 stars. Dang. Oh, 5 stars. Oh, you're going to hate this guy's review.
This is honestly...
I'm right there with him. I don't know.
Incredibly hilarious, intelligently written, and all-around stellar performance from everyone involved. I had fun for the entire movie. Also, Pedro Pascal has bisexual energy with every male co-star, and I love it. Blonde, imaginary Nick Cage and the acid scene got this movie 5 stars easily. This movie is a culmination of everything Nick Cage November is all about. 5 stars.
Oh, did this guy fucking... was he part of the film? Like, did he help?
It's Nick Cage.
It's Nick Cage undercover.
He's just like, I want to make sure that everybody knows that Pedro wanted to fuck me. Bisexual vibes were crazy.
That's funny.
It definitely... I think Pedro does do that really well, especially because, like, that whole... I don't know if you ever saw that thing with him and Willem Dafoe.
We talked about it earlier.
Here's the fucking Mount Rushmore of that, at least 3 of them. Maybe you can fill the 4th one. Willem Dafoe, Pedro, and then I think Tom Hiddleston. My girlfriend loves Tom Hiddleston over every single other person in fucking Marvel because he's the one who actually embodies feminine energy and masculine energy together.
He's got no lips, though.
Yeah, but I think I agree with that because
he plays
a
witch, too. So.
Like, every time you watch fucking Thor or any of the other really handsome guys on there, they're way, way one-dimensional.
Too much testosterone.
It's just all it is testosterone and, like, I have justice. Yeah. It's like,
He was good as Loki. All right, this is our last one by Adelnat. 4 stars. Never thought I would see Nick Cage and Pedro Pascal as homoerotic homies in a movie, but I love it. Also didn't know Neil Patrick was there. I jumped a little. There it is. Those are the reviews from our Letterboxd friends.
I'm surprised at how many people actually like gave it some pretty decent ratings.
Yeah, it was decent
ratings.
There
was only 1-2 star that we got in there. So.
Yeah, I mean, I got an average of 3.4 on Letterboxd, so... You know, it's like average.
Yeah. You know, I think you might like it.
You may or may not like it.
Literally, it's right where you put it.
Not as bad as Master of Disguise. You know, that's universally panned.
That's a masterpiece, though.
It is a masterpiece. One day people will understand.
Yeah. One day. You know,
it'll take some time.
There's a community.
They're uncouth.
On my third watch, I'll be like, all right, you know, I'm turning a new leaf, guys. Yeah.
It's because you weren't on those mushrooms that time.
Or were you guys all just...
all right, boys. That was it for Letterboxd, so...
All right. Well, let's start with
the reviews. Here it comes.
Let's make it quick. Last. We'll leave you last, Gator.
Let's not ramble.
Go ahead, Nick. What'd you think? Give us a straight.
Like I said, this movie probably would have been an 8 or 9. It would have been...
We're talking about no rambling, and you're going into a ramble. We just want a score, buddy.
All right, so like I was saying,
God damn
this
it.
Movie would
let
have been
the man
like
a, talk. All right, give us that bisexual energy, Nick. Yeah, let's go,
bro. I'm homosexual through and through.
The only thing bisexual than cheeks, okay?
It's the only part that needs to be. So, like I said, original watch 8 or 9 theaters and everything else. This time, I think it's a 7.5.
Okay,
solid movie. Loved it.
Lexi, what's your rating?
You know, 6.5. You know, I'd like to see it, but it's not something that stays in my memory. And you know, it is what it is. It's a good movie. It's decent. That's it.
I just wish Alexis would look at me the way that Pedro looks at Nick Cage. That's all I got to say.
He looks
at me
that way.
If I ever find, you know, the relationship that Pedro has with Nick, with you guys, that's all I need.
Nick Cage. Sorry, I thought you were talking about this Nick.
Nick too. Nick specifically. Oh, okay. 6.5. I liked it a lot.
I'm at a solid 5. Like, as we talked about it.
How did it go down? You started
we convinced
6.
Them
what
to
the
hate it even more.
We were trying to skew your perspective and it got lower?
Yeah, I don't know, man, because I'm like...
What did we say that made it lower?
The fact that you guys rewatched it and it didn't held up...
There's some movies that you just watch once and you're like, hey, that was fun. That was good.
Yeah,
and that's it.
If you've noticed, the movies that I have usually typically getting a worse score to are movies that I can't rewatch. Because if I can't rewatch a movie, then that's not fun. You know, it's like if I'm not going to get that same gag effect that I did the first, like, dude,
he's rambling, boys. He's rambling.
Ricky Bobby, man.
Cut him off.
Watch it. But, all right. Well, that was 4 guys.
Wait. So I guess on average we gave it a 6.4.
Yeah.
So we'll give it a 3 stars on Letterboxd.
All right. Well, I think that's fair.
We're right there with Letterboxd, man.
Yeah, we're there. We're
finally
on it.
I wish we would have loved it more. Personally, I liked it the first time around. For some reason, it's the
movie theater
it
experience
didn't hit
for
as
us.
Well, the second time. Yeah, hey, but this is what we do. Sometimes we watch good movies. Sometimes, you know.
No, and like I said,
this isn't a bad movie.
I don't think any of this, even our rating, even Isaac's rating, is to say this is a bad movie. I think this is just a movie that.
I think it either hits or it doesn't.
Depending. And it's not just like, oh, it's bad or it's good. It's depending on your mood, depending on your factors.
Maybe if we saw this on a Saturday, you know, would have been a different rating.
Saturdays with some, you know, good foods, good vibes. Yeah. Everybody's more relaxed.
Barbecue.
Nobody's
not McDonald's.
Nah.
No. Booty shorts.
Don't forget the sauces, you know.
Pool.
Right. Don't forget the buffalo sauce.
Yeah.
All right, guys. This has been 4 guys.
One film.
Catches on all platforms. TikTok, social media, everywhere.